May the peace of God be with you all. Merry Christmas. Afishiapa. Afio Afi. Today is the first Sunday after Christmas. It also happens to be the last Sunday of the year, 2024. And we thank God for his continual protection on our lives. Hallelujah. Dom funya kupon. Yede. Theme for this morning is family, the future of the church. Family, the future of the church. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, empower me to speak your message with conviction and compassion. May my words be a source of encouragement, hope and challenge to your people who have gathered here under your feet as we seek to live according to your will. Amen. People of God, the future of the church is the family. Although the church can refer to a building, it also refers to the family of believers. The smallest unit of the church is the family. And every family, every church remembers, should remember this. Every church resembles the family that make up the church. When families demonstrate God's character, his compassion and his love in their lives and his desire to meet the demand of the needy, these will be reflected in the church. The church is to be Christ-like in order to fulfill God's divine purpose. The spiritual growth of families affect their church in the same way as the spiritual growth of the church also affects the families that make up the church. Our spiritual goal is not just about what we do for God, but more importantly about becoming Christ-like. Christian character is not about honoring or impressing man. Christian character is not about impressing man. It's about living out our faith with reverence for God. The family is important to God. Like all other children, Jesus was born into a family. Jesus and Mary provided a home for him. As new parents, they fulfilled all the requirements of the law. 8 days after his birth, he was circumcised and named. On the 40th day, where the presentation of the firstborn as holy to the Lord by the Jewish law, and the offering of two birds for Mary's purification. So Jesus was taken to the temple to worship at the required times. His parents took him to the temple to worship. God has given us children as a sacred trust. To name them and to shape them to become members of his holy family. The church is to manifest the nature and character of Christ. We can only do this when we commit ourselves to a spiritual walk with the Lord. You cannot just get up and have babies or children and just roll with it. Amen. See, it depends on spending time in his presence, reading his word, and doing what he says we should do. See, faith and family are so intertwined, it is almost impossible to imagine one without the other. You can't read the Old Testament without stumbling upon entire chapters dealing with lineage. We often breeze through those, right, to get to the more important stuff. But there's something going on in those family trees, if we pay attention to them. A pattern emerges from the pages of God's word. What it says is family is important to God. Family is important to God. That's not to say that singles are less important to God. Far be from that. Singles are also important to God. See, God is a God of individuals. His word says in Romans 2:6 that in the end, each one of us will stand individually before him. This morning, I would like us to examine what purpose families serve in building God's kingdom, which essentially is the theme we have for this morning. The answer is twofold. Family is key to the future of the church, first, because it preserves history from generation to generation. And second, because unquestionably, it is the best place to grow disciples. So if you don't know how to disciple your kids, don't think about going out there to disciple anybody else. Amen? You got to be able to disciple your own family first. See, we're all familiar with Paul's call to parents in Ephesians 6:4 to bring up their children in the training and admonition of the Lord. See, but the responsibility that parents have in passing on faith is not something that began with Paul. You have to go back to the very beginning of the Bible where you find God commanding the nation of Israel to share the faith with their children. In Deuteronomy 6:6-7, the Bible says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently." If you have your Bible, you can underline the word diligently. "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." I love that word, diligently. That's why I said underlining. It means constant communication between parents and children, intentional communication between parents and children. See, God could have stopped there, but he didn't want to cast any doubt about what he meant by diligent. And therefore, he specifically broke it down further. And he said, when you sit in your house, you must teach them. You must talk to them about God's word. When you walk along the road, you must teach them. When you lie down, do the same. And when you rise up, tell them about God. Morning, afternoon, and night, parents are to teach their children God's word. Another passage with similar instruction can be found in Psalm 78, 5-7. It says, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may rise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandment." So we see a lot of instructions from God about how he wants us to pass on his word to our children. God's plan and purpose for the family is unmistakable in the scripture. His laws, he wants us to pass down his word from generation to generation to preserve the story of God's work, his commandment, and his love for his people. The second answer is that family grows disciples. One of the biggest mistakes parents make is relegating the task of raising godly children to the church. It's the responsibility of the children's service teachers and the JY leaders to help us raise godly children. It is great that you bring your children to church. It is great to involve them in Christian activities, but none of these replaces the importance of what happens in the home. This is beautifully illustrated for us in Paul's second letter to Timothy, in Timothy 1:45. And it says, "I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded is also in you." Can that be said about you someday? Can that be said to your grandparent about you someday? See, the life body detail here is fascinating. Not only because we're given the exact names of Timothy's mother and grandmother, but also because we get a glimpse into how his childhood was like. Oh, Timothy ni mami Eunice Faria no dokun. Na grandma is sitting there. Or ya dokun no or kanya me samitre Timothy. Amen. Okay, na. Lois or the kakraba kan ho. Hallelujah. That's the beauty. That's the beauty. That's the picture we get of Timothy's childhood. Their diligence and instruction paid off because Timothy grew up to become one of the leaders of the early church. No doubt his status as a Christian has made much influence in the world because of those two godly women and their daily work, their daily instructions that they imparted into his life. Many of us have been fortunate enough to have had mothers and grandmothers like Lois and Eunice, two women faithfully living out God's command to pass his word from generation to generation. And it is a perfect model for Christian homes today. Beloved, as I bring my message to a close, I'd like to say that if we want to raise faithful families and grow future leaders for the church, we must start in our homes. For our children are the church's future. Your home is where true discipleship starts. Parents, do not underestimate the influence you have over your children and therefore the future generation. Don't just bring them to church on Sundays and make it the responsibility of the children's service teachers and the JY leaders to raise them in a godly way. See, we know there is never a guarantee that children will do exactly as their parents teach them, especially in this part of the world. But, we have the greatest opportunity as parents for discipleship. Because we live with our children day to day. And that's the opportunity that we have, is the greatest opportunity that we have. We have countless moments to walk alongside them and to share our faith with them. See, a Christian family doesn't magically appear. You have to be intentional about cultivating a Christian family. You have to be intentional about speaking to your children about God and teaching them his ways every day. Morning, afternoon, and night. Disciple making is a serious business in God's kingdom. Amen? And it cannot be left to the church It cannot be left to chance. We must be serious about our responsibilities as parents in passing on our faith, about living our lives in a godly way, that our children will look at us and want to be like us, because our lives exemplify Christ. Our lives exude Christ. My encouragement to you this morning, beloved, is to share the word of God with your children. Nurture them to be godly, that we will have a future generation of God-fearing people that would take our world to a better place, that will help prepare for the second coming of Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word that we have heard today. May your word sink deep into our hearts, transform our lives. Guide us as we seek to apply your teachings in our daily lives and empower us to live as faithful followers of Christ. Strengthen our faith, renew our hope, and fill us with your love. Thus we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen.